This is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. Can you feel it, Diana?
Yeah.
Can you feel it?
Oh,
can you feel
yeah.
it?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I am Michael W. Dean, Freedom Fiend. The rabid cat in the background is Diana Cotter. How are you doing, Diana?
I'm doing good. I'm in Toronto.
Toronto? You foreigner.
Yeah.
What are you doing? You're a jet setter, man. You're a jet setter.
I'm a little bit. Well, I mean, I've seen kind of all the major cities of Canada at this point, except for Vancouver.
Both of them?
No, there's several. There's Montreal, there's Toronto, there's Ottawa. I've seen those three, Quebec City. And so Vancouver, I think, has to be next.
Vancouver is the best city.
I'm digging it.
It's the best city in Canada, though, too.
Yeah, it appears that way on television for sure.
Well, it's on television a lot because it can double for a couple of reasons. One, it can double for almost any city.
Especially in the Northwest.
And the other is because it's a straight shot up from L.A. And another is because they give them a lot of tax breaks and make it a lot easier to make films there because, you know, it's that American thing of like, we got to keep jobs here and have unions and get paid a fair wage of $70 an hour. That's why people go make movies in Canada, man.
Yeah, and among other things, it turns out that Burger King has now bought out Tim Hortons.
I don't know what that is.
Tim Hortons is like the equivalent of Dunkin' Donuts here in Canada. and so there was that whole story a while back about Burger King moving their corporation, becoming incorporated in Canada because of the much more business-friendly environment at this point than the U.S.
You know, it's kind of funny. People who are against like true free trade, you know, like think that the government has to use their protectionism and guns to keep things American. Often the same people who say, if you don't love America, get out. And then when they use so much protectionism in America that you can't afford to do business here and you go to Canada to do it, they yell at you and say, you're a traitor because you got out. I've heard that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
I know. It's just ridiculous. A little bit of a cognitive dissonance thing going
That's
on
the
there
word.
For sure.
That's the word. Yeah. So what's it like crossing the border into the foreign land of Canada these days?
Well, it's interesting. It's actually, it's much easier to get into Canada than it is the U.S., I think, when we first crossed the border. Yeah, when we first crossed the border, it was actually a pretty small border crossing, and the Mountie, I guess it was, or whatever the guy was, asked me many questions, and I hate it when they do that, because when they put me on the spot like that, I'm afraid that I'm going to sound like I'm lying, and then I'm, get in trouble for something. But
it's a natural human instinct to panic when poked, and like really, like they say like. That's what they look for is like, if you panic when you're interrogated, they think you're guilty, but it's
right.
I mean, all animals want to fight or flight, when they're poked and cornered and, humans are no different.
Especially with a guy.
They want to breed it out of us too, to where like, we just comply.
You're docile.
Like, yes. Okay.
Yeah.
That's why they put the heroin in the water supply too. I'm kidding.
Especially when it's somebody who's wearing, a funny uniform and a shiny badge and they look all official and whatnot. And, it's like, I don't want to go to jail. I just don't. I mean, if it comes down to it at some point, I guess I'll do it, but it's not like top of my priority list.
Yeah.
To go to jail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you've gone to all the Liberty events. Maybe that's your next Liberty event, is the spiritual retreat of going to jail for your Liberty beliefs.
Yeah, I do have a family member that's gone to jail for activism, though. My aunt, who lives in San Francisco, and she was very proud of that. It was actually in D.C. that she was thrown in jail. Yeah.
My sister, the only person in my family that's ever been arrested was my older sister, who's not someone you would think of who'd get arrested. Like, if you met her, you'd think like, oh, she's, nice house, respectable, upstanding citizen or whatever. And she, when I was like 11, she and her boyfriend got arrested for pot and mushrooms in a state park in upstate New York where they were camping.
Ooh.
Yeah. And sounds like it fun. It was really like the first time I really was aware of like nanny laws are immoral, because I knew my sister was a good person. And the fact that some cop like made her life hell too. Like they really messed with her and her boyfriend and poked him around and prodded him and, you know, made him stand out in the cold and barefoot while they searched the van and stuff. And wasn't nice, man. Wasn't nice.
No. Yeah. I've had my run-ins in that respect as well. But interestingly, I didn't actually go to jail. I was just charged. I wasn't taken to jail. I was in the parking lot of a concert. I was going to see Cheap Trick. I was doing some illegal things in the parking lot, and there were some cops sitting right by us in the car, and I didn't realize it, and they kept looking at us, and I thought they were flirting with us.
Mom and dad rolling numbers on the couch, something like that. Sorry.
Right. Yeah, but anyway, so my friend wanted to go home because she was so freaked out by the whole experience, and I was like, we bought tickets to see Cheap Trick. I'm going to see Cheap Trick. So, yeah.
Well,
I want you to want me, okay?
I want you to want me to go see Cheap Trick while you're... Well, you weren't in jail. You got just kicked out or what?
No, we just... they just wrote, basically charged us at that point. And, you know, I was surprised because I know in this day and age, because this was many, many, many years ago, this day and age... I'm pretty sure I would have been dragged to jail, no doubt. Would have been kidnapped and thrown in a cage. And but for whatever reason, we were just charged and released. And
did you have a court date?
I did have to go. I did have a court date, and I ended up. I pleaded. I think to a lesser charge, if I remember correctly, and had to do community service, and my record was expunged.
They wiped it. So basically, they kidnapped you and put you into slave labor under the threat of having a mark on your permanent record. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, I got to say, for community service, what I had to do was not so bad. I was actually, you know, I think I actually got to choose what I did. And I ended up working in a... I don't know if you are aware of this, but I know some states have where if you get enough driving violations, including DUIs, that you have to go to school.
Yeah.
and that's basically where I did my community service, was in a DUI retraining school.
The re-indoctrination center, where you try to teach, they try to teach people to be good.
Yeah. But one of the coolest things that I had to do was help a guy who was illiterate. Hmm. And I actually, you know, kind of enjoyed doing that. Like, he couldn't read, and so I helped him through the whole, like, all the things that paperwork he had to do and stuff. So
yeah, it's surprising how many people can't really read in America. I mean, you know, most people can kind of read a little bit, but the one thing I've noticed, it was when I was getting sober 20 years ago, and I was going to AA meetings and NA meetings. In AA, in California, pretty much everybody could read, but in NA, not everybody could read. You know, I don't think that really says, I don't think that's as much about like, oh, drug addicts are stupid, as it is about like the fact that drugs are illegal, you know, alcohol's legal and drugs are illegal. So people who've been into drugs for a while generally, you know, didn't get the best education, or, you know, didn't finish school or were in jail or, you know, we're running from the law or whatever they were doing. Yeah. Whereas you could be a drunk and you could be a drunk and go to Harvard or Yale and end up being president, even if you have bad grades.
I don't know anyone like that.
Yeah, you do. George W.
Yeah.
I think, isn't his brother going to run? Isn't Kato Bush or Remington Bush? Florida man runs for president.
Yeah, it's Jeb. It's looking like it's headed in that direction, that it's going to be old Jeb Bush versus Hillary. Should be fun.
It's like,
times.
Do you want a kick in the crotch or a punch in the face? Is basically that choice.
Yeah, hastening the demise, laughing while Western civilization burns,
collapses. Yeah, we pretty much are. So So yeah, you gonna marry your Canadian boyfriend and get out of the country?
You know, I've actually thought a lot about that because it would make it much easier for me to get at least get a Canadian passport if we were married. So there's some practicalities with that for sure. And I'm not in any hurry or anxious to get married.
Well,
again,
you love him. You love him too. I mean, it would not be a marriage of convenience, but you know, if it weren't
Yeah, and you know, and it's like, and I actually have been, I've thought about, you know, that maybe we would do a commitment ceremony or something like that, because I don't really care about it having recognized by the state, but I guess legally, in order to be able to, you know, to actually reap the benefits of being married to someone who is from another country, that it would have to be a state recognized affair.
A social, what is it? A civil union, a heterosexual civil union. Is that a thing?
It should be.
I think it is. There's somebody, one of my Facebook friends, it's a heterosexual couple, list themselves as in a civil union. And they're in New York State. Maybe it's a thing there. I don't know. Maybe they just did it to go be like in solidarity with the gay marriage people who couldn't or could, or I don't even know. I don't follow the laws on anything. I just don't pay attention.
Well, there's just too many of them. I mean, it's like, who can keep up? Seriously. Yeah. I mean, you're you know... breathing, and you're probably breaking a law somewhere. I don't know.
Yeah. So. Yeah. You probably are. I think we commit three felonies during three felonies per show. No, they say you commit three felonies. There's a book called Three Felonies a Day. And they say you commit three felonies a day, whether you know it or not, at least.
Yeah.
And you know, I've always said that, Derek J commits three misdemeanors per show, I think. Cause he's the king of misdemeanors. Yeah.
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 Good old Derek. Yeah. I think I'm doing a show with him soon.
Yeah. Cool, man.
Yeah, I think so.
He's a good guy. I've renamed him Derek Fiendman when he's on The Fiend. Instead of Derek Freeman. I think people should change their name instead of being Freeman. Everyone's Freeman. I think they should be Fiendman. Because there's a Fiend fan who changed his last name to Fiend. So Fiendman. Mm-hmm. Fiendman. So I think that should be the new thing. Because Freeman means you want to be free. Fiendman means you and everybody else want to be free. That's what the guy said. So, yeah.
Oh, that's really good, actually.
Yeah.
Fiendman. Good one.
Fiendman.
Yeah. Fake names all the way, man.
What's a real name? I mean, you know.
I know, really. Yeah.
We'll be back. I'm the Freedom Fiend. I'm the Fiends.
Fiends, worms.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Now that the elections are over and liberty has slipped even further away, it's time to try yet another political organization. Campaign for a Longer Leash is a nonpartisan group of pups and dogs dedicated to fighting for longer leashes for all. We're not talking about no leashes, that would be catarchy. We just want the limited leash that the Hounding Fathers promised us. As Bone Barklin once said, a longer leash if you can keep it, ma'am. For more info, go to facebook.com/campaignforalongerleash.
Freedom Fiends. And you know, we are coming to you over Fiend Phone, which is a new invention from Derek Slopey and I that is not yet released. It's the Fiends have come up with something better than Skype. Still got some issues. We're still working them out. I'm hearing a little echo in Diana's headphones, but that's probably the volume. That's one thing that happens here and there, but we're not putting any noise reduction or echo cancellation in this for specific reasons that are complicated, but we're going to work out so you don't have that. If you go to fiendphone.com, that's Foxtrot Echo Echo November then phone, fiendphone.com, you can read about Fiend Phone.
What's
fiendphone.com. So
Fiend Phone.
You've been doing some Liberty voluntary you've been working at the Liberty Wordsmith Soup Kitchen for free, serving out healthy servings of of articles for the Mises Institute, and you weren't even sentenced there by a court. You know, people think without the government, how would we get people to do Christian charity? But so what are you doing for Mises?
Okay, well, I have been recording or been narrating Mises Daily articles. And basically what I go on to a shared spreadsheet and select the articles that I would like to narrate. And sometimes people get really good ones that I want. There was a couple of really good ones lately that I really wanted to record, but somebody beat me to them. And I think one of them was a Tom Woods article. Huh. I really admire a lot.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, very.
No, I'm serious. Anyway, so I'm just checking sound levels. Interesting. Yeah, because this is a teaching hospital, and we can do, you know, and we can do audio tests on the air because we're teaching people how to do things. And, you know, sometimes you got to mm-hmm. do things on the fly and change them. But, and, you know, it's a teaching hospital, and that's why you're teaching people by doing good recordings of Liberty articles. So, Tom Woods, talk about it.
There was a Tom Woods article I wanted to do, but I didn't get to do it. But there's one I just did that's not out there yet that I do want to talk about sometime in the future because it's awesome. This one, the one that it had to do with business and was written by Peter St. Ange.
How do you spell that?
S. St. Ange, O-N-G-E.
St. Orange. Does that mean orange?
No, just, I don't know if it means orange or not. The one I just did was,
anyway, go on. This is live radio, man.
Sorry about that. Go on. Anyway, I recorded that, but it's not out there yet. But the one I did record that is out there is, called, Woodrow Wilson's Faith in War. And that was written by Lawrence Vance. And I was attracted to this one, actually because, I'm supposedly related to Woodrow Wilson.
Ew.
Going way back, I know, exactly. And I used to be, when I was a kid, I was all like, oh yeah, I'm like related to a president, and you're not, you know, and thought I was totally cool.
Like you're royalty or something.
So much. Like I'm royalty or
something. Scott Horton says everything is Woodrow Wilson's fault.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I like that.
Well, it kind of is. If you trace back, everything that's wrong with America basically traces back to Woodrow Wilson.
Yeah, yeah. The Federal Reserve, for sure. You know, central banking.
Income tax. The military-industrial complex. Yeah.
Exactly. It all kind of starts then. And really, if you think about it, all the wars since then have in some ways been connected. And one could even say it's been a continuous 100-year war.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But anyway, so yeah, it was a really good article. And talks about how Woodrow Wilson, how his whole deal was very faith-based. He was a Presbyterian.
I was raised and, a Presbyterian.
He's a Presbyterian. And and he felt that it was our duty as America to spread Christianity and democracy around the world. And despite the fact, despite, you know, getting us into World War I, he continued to say that we were neutral. And, which I think is really funny. And I just also want to say too, that this article is really more of a review of a book, which is What the World Should Be, Woodrow Wilson and the Crafting of a Faith-Based Foreign Policy. And it was written by Malcolm McGee. Yeah, he's a... but anyway, yeah, so we can talk about it in a minute.
All right.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Yeah.
topic is everything was Woodrow Wilson's fault. I'm talking with Diana Kyler, who is who's been narrating some audio pamphlets. I wouldn't really call them audiobooks. They're about 5 minutes long for the Daily Mises, which is a Mises organization, is a liberty. It's like an unaccredited but good liberty university in Alabama, I believe. Right? I think maybe.
Yeah, it is in Alabama. Yes.
Did I say Albuquerque?
It is.
No, it's Alabama.
Yep. No, you said Alabama.
And you did an article called Woodrow Wilson's Faith in War by Lawrence M. Vance, talking about about Woodrow Wilson's mission statement of spreading democracy and Christianity throughout the world. I would say, I think that Americans have done a lot to spread Christianity, but yeah. I think America as a government, the government of the United States, has done a lot to turn people off Christianity because, you know, basically it's like bomb you back to the Stone Age and then force you to worship our God and, you know, force you to have. The thing is, too, the United States claims to want to spread democracy throughout the world, and they usually do that by blowing up, you know, cities and babies and women and children and men. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, they don't always love democracy. Like the CIA will assassinate a democratically elected leader in some other country and install some tyrant who's not democratically elected if it suits their purposes. It's not just all about democracy.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, I had a conversation the other day with someone who said that, you know, when was the last time you saw, you know, Christians behead people for not, you know, adhering to their faith. And you know, it's like, if you look at who we're bombing, and it's, you know, it's primarily Islamic peoples. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Forgive me.
I'm not bombing anyone.
Look at who the U.S. is. I know. I'm not either. I forgive me. It was a slip, but,
you are forgiven.
When you look at who when you look at who the U.S. is bombing, you know, it's primarily Islamic people, and, you know, and they tend to see, I think the area, or a lot of the people in that area, tend to see us as a Christian, or see the U.S. as a Christian nation.
Yeah, but it's not always Islamic people. A lot of Christians get blown up when the U.S. are bombing Muslims.
That's true.
One of the bombs that was dropped in Japan was dropped, like, the drop point was like the largest Christian church in Asia at the time.
Wow, I didn't realize that.
Yep.
So it was either Hiroshima or Nagasaki.
Yep.
Yeah. Wow.
So anyway, I digress. You.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to digress you. Go ahead. Go ahead with your Woodrow Wilson.
Yeah, that's okay. So Woodrow Wilson, according to this article, was, you know, his whole motivation was to spread Christianity, essentially, and you know. And while doing so, democracy as well, and pretty much saw democracy as, or saw the U.S. form of democracy as, you know, sort of Christian or ordained by God in a way. And, you know, because, you know, there's been a lot of, you know, as far as, you know, George W. Bush and everything, and maybe even to some degree Reagan, that, you know, both of those administrations were driven by faith. You know, the moral majority with Reagan and with George W. Bush, you know, he you know, talked a lot about his own faith.
You mean George Bush Sr.?
Oh, well, no, not so much him, I don't think, really. I mean, I didn't really see him as being driven by, you know, so-called Christian values.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, you're not talking about the secret footage of him eating babies, right? I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding. The guy just seemed satanic to me, and his son just seemed like, you know, the retarded son of a Satanist. But I could be wrong.
Satanist, right? Who claimed to be a Christian? Yeah. But yeah. So Woodrow Wilson is a really good example of, I think, maybe even a better example and a more, I don't know, even in your face example of somebody who is saying, you know, saying, yeah, we want to spread Christianity, so therefore we will bomb you, kind of thing. So, and that's where it all started.
Yeah. I don't know if that's really a good plan.
Yeah, no, I don't think so either. You know, if it were up to me, I wouldn't be bombing people. I'm firmly all about the who would Jesus bomb. And I don't think Jesus would bomb anyone.
No, I don't think Jesus would bomb anyone either. When Wilson asked Congress to declare war in order to make the world safe for democracy, the U.S. conducted military operations with the Allies without a formal alliance. During the war, Wilson focused on diplomacy and financial considerations, leaving military particulars in the hands of the Army. He loaned billions of dollars to Britain, France, and other allies. Okay, that was a lot of money back then, billions. Now it's like billion, billion here, billion there. Then it adds up to real money.
Right. But, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. Then he established the Federal Reserve Bank and Liberty Bonds. You know, when I was a kid, it was kind of the tail end of like Liberty Bonds being a thing. Like, I think I even inherited a $25 Liberty Bond when I was six from my grandmother when she died or something. Do you remember Liberty Bonds? Yeah. It's basically lending money to the federal government. That doesn't sound like a good idea to anybody anymore, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, my daughter actually got a $50 treasury bond for participating in a geography bee. She still has it. Yeah.
I know. Let's see. Woodrow Wilson suppressed the anti-war movements with the Espionage Act of 1917 and the Sedition Act of 1918, a crackdown which broadened and intensified to include real and suspected anarchists and communists during the first Red Scare. I don't like communists. Communists don't want to steal my stuff. It's kind of like government without the government. I don't know. If I guess. Well, I mean, you know, in that, like the Soviet Union, I mean, the original, you know, Marxist ideas were a stateless society run by, I guess, unions. I guess unions would be the state. I've never talked to an anarchist who can explain to me how they plan to redistribute my wealth without pointing guns at me.
You mean anarcho-communists?
Yeah. You know, any flavor of communists. They're all filthy commies to me, but they think there's differences, and you know, I'm sure there are. It's kind of like saying, you know, I hate rock and roll, you know, and thinking it's all the same thing, and thinking that like Elvis Presley and Led Zeppelin and Dead Kennedys and, you know, the Arctic Snow Monkeys are all the same kind of music or something. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not. It's really not.
Yeah.
Wilson's interesting. Interesting guy. He I don't know. He's kind of, I guess, oh, Lord, you know, had that whole, you know, delusion of grandeur, I guess, that they all sort of have to have.
You have to have it
to be
become,
in that office
become,
in the first place.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He was a supporter of theistic Darwinism.
What is that?
And I'm not exactly sure what that is. I would say in a way it's almost like, you know, combining survival of the fittest with, you know, who God picks to be the fittest kind of thing, maybe. I don't know.
It kind of sounds to me like
it sounds pretty creepy.
It sounds to me like, what's that thing that Christians use to get like teaching creationism into schools?
Intelligent design.
Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know.
He was a theistic Darwinist, and he believed the United States was divinely chosen to do God's will on earth. The United States was the Redeemer nation destined by God to instruct and lead the world. Yeah. So the task before us was to make the United States a mighty Christian nation and to Christianize the world. Yeah. So this was when he was a president of Princeton.
Yeah.
He wasn't thoroughly vetted, I don't think.
People will come up with all sorts of crazy theories to drive their libido dominandi and their desire to rule. Yeah. I'm looking it up.
Me too.
It basically is what intelligent design came out of. Theistic Darwinism.
Yeah, I see theistic evolution on Wikipedia.
Yep, that's the same thing.
I'm not sure if it's the same thing or not.
Yeah. So tell me more about Woodrow Wilson.
Well, he's supposedly my seventh cousin.
Oh man.
But I'm not exactly sure if that's entirely true, if it's by blood or by marriage or what, but yeah, I mean, like I said, when I was a kid, I thought that was really cool. And when I was a Democrat, I thought that was even cooler because he was a Democrat.
Ew, you were a Democrat? Ew.
Yep. I sure was.
That's horrible.
And then I was a Republican.
Wow.
Sure was.
What a mixed up young lady you were. This is what, when you were 12 and 13?
Yeah, when I was 12, I was a Democrat, and then I became a Republican at 13, and then I was an anarchist from that point on.
No,
that's not my story. That is not my story. Yeah, I was confused. I really was. I kind of bought hook, line, and sinker, except for that nagging little suspicion that there was something really wrong with this picture that I sort of ignored just so I could get through life. But I knew there was something
wrong. Let's talk about that. How long have you felt this nagging feeling that there's something wrong in the world?
I felt it most of my life, probably especially since I was a teenager.
As far as political, thinking there's something wrong with what I was being taught in school and what my parents were telling me. The first two things that really hit me were the Vietnam War and when I was like five, watching it on TV when I was five, and then Richard Nixon saying he's not a crook and then stepping down as president and saying to my mother, but isn't the president supposed to be the bestest man in the world? And she said, it's complicated. That's what people say when they have a messed up relationship with their spouse. They're seeing 12 different people. It's complicated. Yeah. People have a complicated relationship with their captors and their governments.
Right. Yeah. The Stockholm syndrome thing. But I was the same way when I was a kid. And I remember the Vietnam War. I remember that. I mean, I was a little bit younger than you, not a whole lot, but dad was, I think it's more like 2 years or a year. No, it's a year. A year. 'Cause you're 50 and I'll be 50 this year.
I'm 50. So, yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
You know what it is? I thought you were 50. You don't look 50 at all, but I thought you were 50 because when I was turning 50, you kept saying, I'm 50. And I thought, I knew you were like congratulating me on my birthday, but I thought you were also saying you were 50 because you said it so many times. I turned 51 in May. If the government doesn't kill me before then, I turned 51 in May. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Barack Obama is a liar and a socialist, and his feet stink.
That's very true.
It is very true.
I would especially say the foot stinking part is probably more true than anything.
Wilson lived in South Carolina, but you're in North Carolina.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll be back on the Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows. Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by The Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Freedom Fiends.
Meow, meow, meow.
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 Get that cat out of here. Meow. All right, so... this is the Freedom Fiends, and we're going to talk, we try to make every hour kind of freestanding, so we like to do a redemption in the third act in this hour, and then at the end of the show in the second hour, do a bigger redemption in the third act, if we can think of one, if we're not too, touched in bad places by the government. So, before we talk about what freedom means, so tell me, Diana, show me on the doll where the government touched you.
Okay. In my pocketbook.
There you go. Yep, for sure. I'd say I've heard a theory by it was put forth by some libertarian, some guy who said that without the government, everyone would be 8 times richer.
Yeah.
And, you know, no doubt. I mean, it might not mean 8 times as many dollars, or there might not even be dollars. But, you know, the buying power and lifestyle of, you know, like the guy living in the cardboard box would be living in a decent apartment. The person living in a decent apartment would own a house. And the person who owns a house would own like 6 mini mansions. Yeah. So
yeah, that makes
two
sense.
Two mini mansions.
If wealth were allowed to flow freely, I mean, everybody would benefit.
Yeah, because they just take it.
They just take it, and you know, they don't allow the free market to innovate freely. You know, and it would. You know, it absolutely would. I mean, it's, you know, everybody is better off when everybody is. I don't know if this.
Everyone's better off when everyone's better off. And what governments do, what all governments do, all governments throughout the world, what they do is they create systems to sustain themselves under the guise of helping others and taking care of basic needs that can't be done individually, which is complete hogwash. It's poppycock. And, you know, basically what they do is just line their own pockets. Like every government employee has better health care than the average person working in the private sector in the same kind of job. Every person in every government job, in every government everywhere. I'm not just talking about the USA. Yeah. Every government everywhere. Right. You know, it's basically a racket. It's basically a mafia. And it also kind of like, you know, even more so than the mafia, it includes this, you must worship it. And if you question it at all, you are a suspect and should be watched and thrown in a cage. It's evil. Mm-hmm. It's evil. And they just want to hurt people and take their money and take their joy in life. And I really think that
at gunpoint.
And I really think that a lot of the enforcers, you know, the police, the military, the, you know, whoever they send in to take your guns, I really think all those people get a big kick out of it, of having the power. And being able to crush people and make them squirm, and you know, cops often laugh at people while they're arresting them or even killing them. We saw that footage from the MOVE documentary where they were laughing while they were burning someone's house to the ground with children in it.
I know.
There's this thing. There's this thing going around Twitter, like someone's trying to organize a boycott of, I don't remember what company it is, but I'm not going to look it up because I don't want to help their boycott. But it's some, you know, chain ice cream store or something. What happened was some police went into one of these stores in New York City, and the kids behind the counter like put their hands up and said, don't shoot. Kind of as a joke, but kind of as a protest, you know, like.
Right. Yeah.
And the cops just walked out. They didn't hassle or anything. But it made the news, and people are like, people who love the police and love to, you know, have the boot of the police on the neck of people everywhere are trying to get people to boycott this place because,
oh my God,
because the company didn't, you know, immediately take action on these people. First of all, companies can't immediately take action on anything because the government has put so many employment laws in place that you can't just fire somebody without checking with 20 lawyers first and going through a process. So, and second of all, why should they fire them? They, you know, it's free speech, man. It's I mean, they could fire them because, you know, you pretty much kind of give up a bit of your free speech and a bit of your rights when you're paid to be employed by somebody. And that's fine. You're like, you know, you can't go in naked and serve ice cream to the public in New York City. But
yet.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
that's a stupid boycott.
I would actually, it really is. And I would actually like to know who the, I mean, if it's a chain, I would like to, you know, partake in their wares.
I have a plan. If the cops if any cops ever point a gun at me and tell me to put my hands up, I'm not going to shoot them. I'm going to drop my weapon. You know, put it this way. There's no ethical reason. I would never do anything that cops should point guns at me, but it seems like they point guns at people all the time. If the cops ever point the gun at me, I'm going to put my hands up while flipping them off.
I would do that too.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And it's not because I hate cops. I don't hate cops. It's just nobody should ever point a gun at me. There's no reason to, man.
Yeah.
I'm a good guy.
Yeah.
Worms.
Worms.
Worms, 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 worms,
Hi, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends Radio Show. The internet has lowered the cost barrier for a worldwide radio show to a price approaching zero. Yet there is one arena where you still need thousands of dollars to approach the audio quality of the corporate media. Doing a live spoken show with more than one host in different geographic locations. Our program, Fiend Phone, will solve that problem, and it will be given away free. Go to fiendphone.com to see what you can do to help. That's FEENPHONE.com. This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Reindoctrination Center, through the Libertarian Reindoctrination Center's low orbit ion cannon. High above Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibAir 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. I'm your host, Mr. Michael W. Dean, the Iron Hamster, and we got the laughing kitty, Diana Kyler, on the other end of the inner tubes. Are you there? Are you safe? Have you been contacted by the government, Diana?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm all good. I'm good. Hiding from the government up here in Toronto.
Yeah. And we are doing this show over Fiend Phone, which is something Derek Slopey and I are working on. It is a free software program that's going to, I wouldn't say it's going to replace Skype, but it does some things Skype can't do, which at the moment includes getting a little bit of echo feedback. But I think that's your headphones. We're going to work on that later.
Okay.
And it's going to get better. But it is clearer than Skype. I got to say that. And
I think so too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
you absolutely think so too. And there's no cutoff.
There's no cutoffs at all. We can both talk at the same time. Let's try talking at the same time. So my name is Michael Dean and I'm talking and Diana is talking at the same time. The thing is that wouldn't work on Skype. Whoever's louder would cut out the other person. So, it's a little better for
we can both talk at the same time.
Podcasters. And it also makes a more natural feeling conversation because, people naturally do kind of talk over the trail end of something else someone else is saying. It doesn't, you don't it's not like bricks. Conversation is not bricks cutting each other out, although it is when it's the government talking to you. Any government,
that's
not just
true.
Ours. How's the Canadian government
stupid
treating
government
you?
Bricks.
What have they done to you today? Where they show me on the doll where the Canadian government touched you?
They've left me pretty much alone today. I'm not really seeing much government around here.
Wait till they get the info from the US NSA who listen to the radio all the time.
Right.
Hear this stuff. Yeah.
I'm a subversive.
I don't know.
Better watch out for me.
I know you pretty well. Yeah. I don't think you're subversive.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know, but what if I want to be subversive?
What would that entail?
I don't know. Using Bitcoin, I think, in a way, is subversive.
Did you rent your apartment with Bitcoin there in Canada?
We actually didn't. Airbnb does not accept Bitcoin as of yet.
This is not an ad. This is just, I'm just really curious about, you're staying in if people know what Uber and Lyft are, they're like services for car sharing instead of taxis with all their taxi medallion prices. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like you're using something that's like Lyft or Uber for apartment sharing.
Right.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah. Basically that's what it is. It's, this time I've used it. This is the third time that we've used it. And this time we're staying in a place which is clearly the abode of this person. The other two places that I've stayed in, they looked more like they might've been sort of rentals or something that they were actually just renting through Airbnb. But this guy lives here and it's really interesting because, there's all of his really intimate, not really intimate, like what you're thinking, but
I'm thinking.
I know. Well, I'm talking to the audience as well because the audience is like, ooh, sex toys. No.
He locked those in the safe. He locked those in the safe deposit box before he left.
But it's like, I kind of feel like I know this person and it's kind of weird, but I like it. I really do. It's a really charming little old apartment in Toronto and you wouldn't be able to get this vibe in a hotel room. So it's kind of like you're staying at a friend's place.
I could not let randomly chosen strangers stay in my house.
Yeah, I don't know that I could either, but I like that there's an option that I can stay in randomly chosen strangers' places.
Oh, I could stay in randomly chosen strangers' places. And it's not that I'm unfair because I'd be paying for them. I'm just not willing to make that trade myself. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. And the thing that's really cool about Airbnb is the same as with Uber and Lyft, that, you know, you do ratings both ways. So, you know, we'll rate this place and the person who rented it to us and he can rate us as to whether we were good tenants or not. And so it's really very reputation based. It's been frowned upon, I think, by several hotel type associations.
Of course it has.
You know, in the same way that
cars were frowned upon by horse and buggy whip makers. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, it's really been a very good experience. The first time we stayed in a little flat in New York in a really great location. The second time was just in, you know, Panama City Beach, Florida. And this is our third time, and so far it's been really a great experience, and it's nice to have that option. Hmm. You know, I think they have more of these kind of things in Europe, where you can go online and find places where you can that you can rent from people, so that you don't have to pay the hotel prices. So, but this is just kind of a more organized system, I think.
Huh.
But
what's it called again?
It's really
what's
cool. It's called Airbnb. B as in
B&B,
what?
Bread
what
and
do
breakfast.
We say?
Air bread and breakfast. Airbnb.
Airbnb, and so I highly recommend it. There's also one for food sharing or for meal sharing. It's called Feastly.
Feastly.
Yeah, Feastly, like beastly, but with an F.
That's
yeah,
funny.
Feastly.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's kind of a new thing. I read about that a couple of months ago, but it's meal sharing. So if you're a good cook and you want to make some extra bucks, you can probably advertise on there and have people over to your house. If you like to feed people, I know people that are like that. They love to cook. And one of the fiends I know loves to cook.
Lou, yeah. And Lou likes agorism, which is doing things mm-hmm. without government permission. That's you know, that's actually a thing that's getting pretty popular in New York City, is like underground, kind of like restaurants, but more like they serve like two couples at once in someone's home. And you know, of course, the government and the restaurateurs
just like
are
beastly.
All trying to crack down on it.
Right. It's not sanitary. It's not hygienic.
Yeah, because without the government.
Stupid government.
Well, people still get ptomaine in restaurants and things like that. So,
still get what?
Ptomaine poisoning. You know, food, different kinds of food. People still get problems.
Okay.
You know, with all the regulation they have and inspections at restaurants, people still get sick. And who's going to want to get someone sick in their home, man? Because then the people know where you live and can come find you.
Right, exactly. And give you bad reviews, and nobody will want to come eat at your home. So, you know, there's incentive. There's incentive to provide good services. And, you know, your reputation depends on it.
Yeah, it seems like we're moving into more of a reputation-based society, where a lot of things that that governments claim they have to do, you know, like making things fair, can be done without the government, with, you know, websites that people have to log mm-hmm. on and use their real name and can review things. You know, give them positive. Angie's without the government, Angie's List would replace the government. You know, a lot of what the government mm-hmm. does. Better Business Bureau is not the government. It's private, actually. A lot of people think it's the government, but it's not. It would replace the government.
Yeah, I guess I put a lot of stock in review based organizations like that. You know, I look at reviews of, if I'm going to go get my nails done or something, I'll look at the reviews of the place and, you know, but, you know, some people don't put so much stock, I guess, especially when it comes to movie reviews and things like that.
Movies are so subjective, though, because...
Yeah, they really are.
And you know, even attempts to do things like, well, if you like this movie, you'd like that movie. Like Netflix and Amazon, like they're getting better at it, but they're really not quite there yet, you know, because they don't know what I like about a movie I liked. You know, if I see a movie about, you know, some jazz musician struggle with heroin, they'll recommend movies about jazz and movies about heroin. But maybe that's not what interested me about the movie. Maybe it's I really like that director or I really like the city it's made in, or I really like the screenwriter.
Yeah.
Yeah. They don't know.
They need to improve those algorithms. No. Yeah. Algorithms are like they don't be knowing me.
They'll,
those algorithms.
They'd like to, though. You know, there's actually like software now that they're rolling out to police departments that or database systems or subscription systems for police that like what it's going to plan to try to do is when they're pulling you over, they can run your license plate number and it'll like search through all of your Facebook posts, or, you know, someone has looked through all your face, like basically to see if you're a threat based on your free speech patterns. Isn't that, that's messed up, man.
So square. It makes me feel icky. Yeah. I was reading something on Facebook earlier, totally square, but I was reading something on Facebook earlier about, and this is kind of jumping a little bit, but just how the government makes us feel dirty. Somebody was talking about, you know, what it's like to go to court and how much court is like a church in a way. You know, it's like you've got the guy in black robes that you sort of have to look up to.
He has all the power. Yeah.
You know, right. He has all the power, and that the, and that the, even the seats are like pews, are like church pews, and you have to stand up and you have to take your hat off and you have to dress appropriately and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, it's like the last, my last experience in court, I could totally relate to that. But there was also the sense of how it's just dirty. Like I wanted to take a shower when I got home after my experience in court.
After
and
the
this
government
was just
touched,
to get a divorce.
After the government touched you. And it was to get a divorce that was like, you know, it wasn't contested and it wasn't contentious, right?
Right. Yeah. And yeah, and they made me come back. Like the first time I went, apparently, you know, because I kind of did it myself because I was I did it on the cheap, you know, not wanting to deal with lawyers and stuff like that. So and my ex-husband and I were very amicable and agreed pretty much on everything. So it was like, I'm just going to do this myself. And so we did. And I did make one tiny mistake, which made it so that I had to go back to the dirty place. And I didn't want to.
The $50 divorce kit at Walmart?
Yeah.
Did you really?
No, it wasn't a Walmart. No, it wasn't a Walmart. It was online.
It was called
Divorce Rider.
Yeah. Well, I think
it's called Divorce Rider.
For a while in Japan, they had like vending machines that perform marriages. I think a lot of things the government does would be replaced by vending machines.
By vending machines, yeah. I agree. Yeah.
You know, I gotta say though,
choose the services we want.
I gotta say though, I'm not as pie in the sky like the free market will do everything. It's magical. Like I think there'd be a lot of bumps in it, and I think a big problem is that libertarians, have a really big problem. Like libertarians always talk about how everything would be done by shunning. You wouldn't need the government to tell people not to do stuff. It'd be done by shunning.
Yeah,
but
when
you actually shun,
it's much easier said than done.
Well, when you shun libertarians for things that are worth shunning for, a lot of armchair libertarians yell, "You're ruining the movement. We have to all stick together." No, man, some of these libertarians are so damaged that, like, if backing them is required, no, we're going to fail.
Yeah.
learn to shun, people. Learn to shun. It's okay.
Learn to shun.
It's okay to shun.
Yeah, it is okay. You can say no. You can choose who you want in your life. You can choose who you want to listen to. You know?
And we're the Freedom Fiends. Listen to us. Apparently, you're listening to us, so we'll be back. I'm the Freedom Fiends. After this, pause for a cause.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
I was putting a little echo on you. I was having fun with it. So this is Freedom Fiends.
Cool.
This is Freedom Fiends talking to Diana Kyler. I'm Michael W. Dean, and we are talking about Bitcoin. Bitcoin is a decentralized electronic currency that some say is going to change the world. And I'm not quite that. It's the best thing we got. It's the best thing people come up with, I think, to you know, for all the talking that people do in Liberty, someone actually like created an alternate money system that's not controlled by a Federal Reserve and cannot be inflated. That's pretty cool. And it's kind of in its infancy. Cool. It's Bitcoin has been around for 5 years, but a lot of merchants take it now. I think it's kind of where the internet was in about 1997, you know, when people started doing e-commerce.
Right.
And it's changed.
Yeah, they suddenly got excited about it and it kind of blew up. And I'll tell you, one of the things I think is kind of interesting, were you aware of the Bitcoin Bowl in St. Petersburg, Florida?
No, what's that?
Yeah, it was basically a college bowl game that was sponsored by Bitcoin, but I think it was more sponsored. I think one of the largest sponsors of it was BitPay, more than likely.
Yeah, I was going to say, Bitcoin. There is no Bitcoin central scrutinizer to sponsor things.
Yeah. Right. But it was called the Bitcoin Bowl. And actually, the college that I graduated from was playing and they won. It was North Carolina State University. They won the Bitcoin Bowl.
It sounds like Bitcoin Bowl sounds like something where they drug test you. And if you're not on drugs, they don't let you play. I'm kidding.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. But yeah, so and I read that I think that upwards of 100 different local merchants now in St. Petersburg, Florida, are accepting Bitcoin as a result, I think, of the Bitcoin Bowl. And hopefully it's something that sticks around and doesn't die down. But I'm thinking, since I live in the Raleigh-Durham area, that there are a lot of – it's huge for college football and college basketball in that area. And I'm thinking there might be an opportunity to really kind of get Bitcoin going in the area since NC State – won the Bitcoin Bowl. So, you know, that could probably get some mileage.
Huh. So you could buy, could you buy tickets for this thing with Bitcoin?
Yeah. Yeah. Totally could.
Were there big Bitcoin banners everywhere in the stadium?
I think there were. I mean, I wasn't there, but I saw pictures and, you know, they had Airbits. Airbits was there. They've got a pretty good tool. And,
what's Airbits?
So, Airbits is actually a wallet. It's a wallet. It's a Bitcoin wallet, but it's also lets you know what merchants in your area accept Bitcoin. So a merchant. It's really, really cool. It's like if a merchant accepts Bitcoin, they register with Airbits, and so if you want to spend your Bitcoin someplace, you know, you open up your Airbits app and find out which merchants in the area accept it. So
that's
cool. It's pretty cool.
I think that things outside the government purview could replace not only things the government do, but a lot of things like billboards. Like, who wants billboards everywhere? They'd appeal to everybody, you know, for, I mean, it's kind of the internet and computers have kind of brought the market, even the market that is somewhat government regulated that exists. They've kind of brought it from a one size fits all, any color you want, as long as it's black kind of ideology to, you know, to like where you can have, I mean, look at Amazon, man. Amazon, I mean, think how many different pairs of shoes they have on Amazon. And think about like 100 years, 100 years ago.
Everything.
Yeah. I mean, 100 years ago, there was one kind of car and like four kinds of shoes, you know? That's actually predicted.
And you only got new shoes when they got holes in them.
Yeah. And that kind of diversity of commerce was predicted in this book called Future Shock. It was written in 1970, and I read it when I was about 15, probably, you know, in the 80s.
Yeah.
It's a pretty amazing book. It has the problem that a lot of futurist scientist writers have, which is that it basically says that you still need grand government-like institutions to make decisions for people, but, you know, they basically say it'll be turned over to computers. I mean, it's kind of like proto-Zeitgeist or something, but other than that, it's really a really intelligent and really prescient book. Have you ever read it?
No, I haven't, but I'm going to put it on my list.
Yeah, it predicts a lot. It's kind of dry and it's long, but it's got a lot of predictions in it that have come to pass. You know, things like, he actually talks about how there'll be like digital butlers that'll learn your, or like electric, you know, computer butlers that'll learn your preferences and suggest things to you. And it's like every website, the web didn't even exist then. You know, I mean, I think he pictured like an actual like robot, like, good morning, Diana, would you like to shop for shoes today? You know, but.
Why, yes, I would, Jeeves.
He called it Oliver, and it was an acronym. Oliver. Was an
Oliver.
Acronym. Oliver. Yes.
Okay.
All right. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Hey, this is Squisklar Squigelts from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech as hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on sheep,
and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Freedom Fiends, this is Michael Dean, broadcasting from Windowless Bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural wild mountain west in the occupied states of America, and Diana Kyler is broadcasting from somebody's house in Toronto. I don't even know what that means, but yep. So we're going to read this article on, what is this website? Yeah. I can't, it's A, let me spell it. It's anarchant.com. I was thinking anarchant, but no, it's simpler than that.
It's
what is
anarchant.
It?
It's anarchant.
I guess it's where.
Anarchant.
But it's not, yeah, it's not chat. It's not where anarchists go to chat. It's where they go to chant about anarchism,
chant.
I guess. So the religion of anarchism. So. We're going to read this article called Bitcoin Isn't Your Soapbox. And I didn't really read this. Mm-hmm. I just kind of scanned through it right before the show. We actually just raided Free Talk Live's. People like, they have a place on their site where people can have input in topics and people vote on them. And this one did not get voted up. So we're not stealing it, although they wouldn't think we're stealing it anyway. But whoever posted it might. But whoever posted it will probably be happy it got discussed somewhere. And,
Yeah.
and yeah, man, and we don't do that on our show. We don't take requests. We're not wedding singers. Not that Free Talk Live are, but it's like I don't want people to tell me what to do. I want to tell them what I want to talk about, and if they don't like it, they can go elsewhere. But people seem to like it, man. I don't understand it. People seem to like our show. I do understand it. We're good. So, this article is called Bitcoin Isn't Your Soapbox by Ethan Glover. So read some of this, and I'm just going to interrupt when I have a positive or negative comment, and then we'll discuss the whole thing.
Okay, sounds good. Yeah. So it starts, reality check. If the government wants to regulate digital currency, it will. I find it sad that this is the case, but there's no point in crying about it. There's a lot of debate going on with the Bitcoin Foundation, who gave their opinion on bit licenses. Cody Wilson seems determined to have it disbanded with a blog that has been up for months without seeing a proper audit. This is just a side note. I am glad, however, that Cody got a ghostwriter or editor. His past posts were awful.
Ouch.
Okay. Ouch, I know. The point here is libertarians as a group want to push everything good they come across too far. They try to shame and shun any firm or individual they don't see as ideologically pure. And then it goes on to say, first, this is impossible considering the differing opinions among libertarians. Second, it gives people the wrong impression of who libertarians are. People see libertarians as young, arrogant, privileged kids who don't understand the real world. While their philosophy may sound logical at times, it is too purist to be realistic.
I'm trying to figure out if the guy writing this is a libertarian or not. I don't know yet.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah, not exactly sure. Yeah, so trying to get to the point here. There will never be a day when everyone is a libertarian. I don't know about that. Nor will every good libertarian idea convert all those who embrace it. Libertarians want the mass adoption of Bitcoin, but they also want everyone to use it in a libertarian-approved way. Bitcoin is a fantastic tool, but it gets used and abused as an evangelist platform.
See,
Here's the thing.
When you want something to spread as far and wide as possible, you really can't put any restrictions on this. We're actually right now, we're actually debating with the license to use on Fiend Phone when we finally release it to the public. You know, there's the GNU license, which basically says anybody can use it for free in perpetuity forever for commercial or non-commercial use with or without credit. I think it's with or without credit even. But that any derived software has to use the same license. Now, there's something called a permissive license, which is actually weirder in a way, because it's kind of like that, but it also allows people to use it in derived software that has proprietary licenses. And a lot of purists think you'd never want to do that because you want to force anyone who wants to use your software to be pure with it. But I'm actually considering one of those licenses, because that allows it to spread even further and wider, because the original source will still be there. People can go make their, GNU licensed or, whichever license they want to use, the BSD license or the Apache license, or they could use a kind of license that you can't ever look at this and you have to resell it if they make something else out of it. I'm actually considering one of those, and some people would consider that kind of unlibertarian, but I'm no, that's even expanding it to more uses. It can be used by squares who want to live in the intellectual property world. I don't want to punish them and discourage them from doing that,
Yeah, absolutely.
Got a cat in your throat. Sorry. A cat in your throat?
Yeah, cat in my throat. I totally agree. I mean, I don't know. It's I don't understand why it wouldn't be libertarian to want to allow anyone who wants to use it, regardless of their,
ideology. Yeah.
I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, to me, it's unlibertarian not to want that, I don't know. That's just me, though.
Yeah, I think it's not very good liberty to say only people who are pure of heart may use the my labor, And I think that's
it seems contradictory.
I think that's one of the reasons that a lot of libertarians are starving and begging each other who have no money for tips on their. I ask for tips on the website for the Freedom Fiends, and people can donate, and people do, and it helps cover expenses. But we don't really take ads, and we generally give our ads away to people that we want to support. And I don't like doing ads. I don't want to break into our feisty discussions and say, what's Stone Age? Have a segue you're talking about people being bombed back to the Stone Age. Know what Stone Age is? Having hard water. Use Billy Bob's water softening systems in your home. I use them in my home.
Right.
I don't want to do that, man. There's no ethical problem with it, but I don't want to interrupt, my cool talking to do that. So I'm not going to do that. But
it's distracting. It's a bit distracting.
I think one of the reasons a lot of libertarians are broke is because they don't want to deal with anyone who's not a libertarian. It's kind of this weird, you must be pure and
incestuous.
And so far, there's not a lot
pure blood.
So far, a lot of the pure blood libertarians, libertarian only kind of people, don't have a lot of money, man. And the ones who do have money are the people running PayPal and things like that. So.
Yeah.
They don't want to deal with us. I'm not saying they don't want to deal with us one-on-one, but I don't know nothing about PayPal, but just, the libertarian billionaires don't want to come, donate money to us or our friends. or even hire us, And I'm not complaining. I'm just saying that's a different strata entirely. So, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So read some more of this. Yeah. I'm done yakking. Go ahead.
Yeah, then it says Bitcoin isn't for libertarians, it's for people. And it's for people. Yeah, exactly. It's for people, not dogs, but people.
I think I'm kind of agreeing with this guy.
Yeah, in that respect, for sure. And then he says, want your own special political currency? Need it. That's the whole point of it being open source.
Sorry, I lost. What did you say after currency? I lost you.
It said, you want your own special political currency? Create it. That's the whole point of it being open source.
Yeah. And so far, really, none of the like Bitcoin, 2.0 kind of things have really gone anywhere, I would say.
Not so far.
Not to make a dent, even,
Right.
As far as usefulness. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of excitement and some investment, but yeah, it's all Bitcoin's the 900-pound king baby in the middle of the room. So
king baby.
It's not a king baby. King baby is someone who like wants everyone to cater to their whims.
Bitcoin, wants all the attention.
Yeah.
Bitcoin is on track to be the standardized cryptocurrency adopted by the majority. Yay! Yes, the government will regulate all digital currencies at some point. The Bitcoin Foundation isn't to blame for regulation because they gave New York some heads up on how the community feels. Libertarians are precise about the difference between capitalism and corporatism. I would hope that they understand the difference between government regulation and a report.
Yeah.
The BTCF, Bitcoin Foundation, isn't the one trying to regulate. They don't go around ranting about how government is evil. There's no reason to stamp your feet and cry about it. Huh. And then the next section is, libertarians don't own Bitcoin. It's clear why libertarians want to work outside of the law. It means doing things in a manner that works for every individual. That doesn't mean using Bitcoin should always feel dirty, like an act of rebellion. You can still work around the government as people begin to adopt the currency, but you shouldn't condone those who don't want to do so. Yeah, we were talking to someone recently at a dinner party that we went to, or it was actually a brunch party. And the guy said that he did not want to use Bitcoin because it doesn't have government approval.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of that, and it's pretty square. It's a square thing to say, man.
Yeah. It's like, okay, there. Thus far, it's at least in the U.S. and Canada, it's not against the law per se.
Yeah.
It's not like the government, explicitly tells us that we have permission to use it, that, we shouldn't use it. Anyway, that's silly. That's just silliness.
And then the guy makes a really good point that, if you want Bitcoin to work for libertarians the best it can, we can complain all we want, but you got to let stuff work in the real market too. The only reason there are computers on everyone's desktop is because industry bought them, not because artists bought them. You can't just live in a pure bubble. Grow up, kids. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah. Grow up. Yeah. And I like what he said about it is if you want your own politically, political currency, then create it. It's open source. Bitcoin isn't the end all be all. I think, Bitcoin is really just the beginning.
Well, Cody Wilson is kind of trying to do that with Dark Wallet. He's trying to make a way that Bitcoin is untraceable. And we'll see, man.
That's
cool. Yeah, I hope it works. Worms. We'll be back for the redemption in the third act after this trip to the market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space, 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 into space.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many Liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock. Freedom Fiends.
The laughing kitty fell down the well. Let's save her. Okay, this is Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend. It's the redemption in the third act. And we actually did some testing during the break. We discovered something about Fiend Phone, is that the person, everyone using it, should have closed ear headphones, not these Beats by Dre, yo, that like fill the world with your music and make everyone hear what you're hearing. Because it leaks into the mic, and by design, FiendPhone has no noise reduction or echo cancellation, unlike Skype.
Right.
Because that stuff just gets in the way of good audio. So, yeah, get up on your mic there and tell me some truth about Liberty and open sourcing the movement and the Bitcoins.
Yeah. Yeah. So I definitely think it's very pro-libertarian to want to allow anyone to use anything that they want. You know, it's like, it's not up to libertarians or anyone else to dictate, you know, who should get to use what. You know, it's open source for a reason. If you want your own very own little coin, you can create your own very own little coin.
And let the market decide. Let the market decide. Yeah. You know, here's the thing, like that thing about libertarians being naive and, you know, childlike or whatever.
Yeah.
There are a bunch that are like that, because it appeals to the ideas of liberty appeal to people who feel tainted by the systems of the world and don't whether you understand them or not, like you can be completely oblivious and know that the government is harming people, and you can be very studied and know the same thing better. Libertarians who are very naive tend to just kind of parrot phrases like, oh, the free market will take care of it. And yes, we'll just use shunning. And it's like, yeah, those things are all true. But I find a lot lacking with a lot of libertarians. And it's not anything about libertarians in general. It's people, man. Every like group I've ever been in, you know, that had its own culture and its own lingo, like punk rock, it had the same infighting. It had the same people making grand statements of, we must do this or we must do that. And everything, man. And kink and, you know, religion. And like, I've never been into religion, but you have, right? And that stuff happens in churches, doesn't
it? Definitely. Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, it depends on the church, but I think that there's certainly been infighting among the Christian faith in general between denominations. I mean, look at the Reformation. You know, it's like, y'all aren't doing it right, so we're going to start our own religion.
Yeah. And a lot of people have been killed in the name of religion, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Who would Jesus kill for not being the one true God? I mean, really?
Right.
And, you know, that brings me back to that joke that my mother used to tell, my Presbyterian mother used to tell as a child. It was, guy dies and goes to heaven. St. Peter's giving him the tour. They go by this one room. You hear people yelling, bingo. And he says, oh, that's the Catholics. And they go by this other room, and you hear this clinking of liquor glasses. And he says, oh, that's the Presbyterians. And then he goes by this other room, and there's a black curtain over the room. And he says, over the door, and he says, shh, that's the Baptists. They think they're the only ones up here.
I've heard that one before. It's a good one.
Yeah. I think I've heard it about different denominations too and different religions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody thinks.
I think I've mostly heard it about the Baptists.
If you want God to spread, treat it like Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Let it spread, man. Yeah. Don't try to put it in a box and put rules on it of how people worship.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Do your own thing. And, you know, I mean, be individualistic, you know, do what you want to do. You know, never mind what, you know, the group wants to do or
the hippies,
anybody
the hippies,
else for that matter.
The hippies got it half right, but their problem was they went and joined the government. So really, the moral of the story is do whatever you want as long as it doesn't hurt anybody and carry a gun.
Right.
And carry a gun.
Right.
And, like, don't, you know, don't get involved in government and think that that's going to make the world better when it actually hurts.
Yeah.
Don't hurt people by proxy, which is what voting government involvement is.
Yeah, I am. I saw, speaking of trying to change things from the inside, I saw a meme earlier on Facebook about drone warfare. It's like, if you don't like drone warfare, become a circuit board and change it from within.
Yeah, and that posting, anyway, that will probably get your door kicked in these days.
Probably.
Worms. It's been a good show,
Diana. Worms. Yeah, yeah. Enjoyed it a lot, yeah. As always.
Yeah, man. Give me some more of that.
Meow, 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 meow.